everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with Ed Alexander. We are welcoming you to the Buckmaster Show. It is Wednesday. It's the 28th of January, 2015. We're coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and we live stream the show so you can hear us really anywhere in the world at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. We have our podcasts available. Usually they're up within about an hour or so after the conclusion of the show. And then we have all of our audio archive for the last 4 years, all of our shows at buckmastershow.com. We have links on the homepage of the TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, Green Valley News, and Sahrita Sun, and our newest media partner, Tucson Lifestyle Magazine. During the noon hour, we'll talk with Tucson City Councilwoman Regina Romero at 12:30, but first, we will start the show talking about the Tucson area economy, and you are more than welcome to join us at 790-2040 on the live line anytime during the hour. We also invite you to become a friend of the Buckmaster Show. Well, Tucson Realty and Trust was incorporated under the laws of the Territory of Arizona in 1911 and adopted that distinctive bullseye as its logo. Joining me in studio is the president and CEO of Tucson Realty and Trust Company, George H. Amos III, known to everyone as Hank, who is the third generation Amos to run the company. Hank, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Did anybody call you George growing up, or was it always Hank?
It was always Hank. My grandfather was George, my dad was Buddy, and they called me Hank. And my son is George the Fourth, and we call him Jack.
So Jack.
Yeah. Jack has nothing to do with George or Henry.
Yeah, well, you're to be commended for the outstanding job. Every January you put out a really comprehensive look at real estate, a little bit on residential, but mainly the commercial end of the business. I think that started around 1990, so it's been about 25 years.
Correct.
Of these reports. How did 2014 shape up?
Overall, 24 is pretty much the same pattern that we've had the last couple years. Commercial real estate was pretty sluggish in Tucson. There were some highlighted transactions like Elcon, the MDA building, the 4400 office building on Broadway, and we're seeing some of the sales of some of these trophy assets, mainly because cap rates are low. And when cap rates are low, that's good for a seller because they can make more money when they sell. But interest rates are very low too, so that has purchasing power, and it's great for the buyer. So it's a perfect storm, and you're seeing people taking advantage of that. Sellers harvesting their profits, buyers coming in and taking advantage of those low interest rates.
The Elcon sale was really huge. It was a almost $82 million sale to a group that was fronted by the owner of the St. Louis Rams. That's got to be one of the biggest sales in recent memory, isn't it?
Oh, most definitely. Yeah, I mean, it was a great sell. I think the Kibbles did a great job running that center. It went through a tough period there for a while, but they repositioned it. And we have a good owner that came in, and they're going to do bigger and better things. There's a lot of extra parking in that north parking lot, and they'll probably do some work over there.
The housing market, well, we have to really, to get into the commercial end of things, we need to touch on residential, because even though Tucson Realty and Trust doesn't do residential anymore, what happens in the residential market is so important to your business.
Well, it's not only important to our business, it's important to Tucson. It's all about the economy, and Tucson's a real estate-driven economy that's fueled by our residential, people moving here, building homes and all. And so we've been in this depression or Great Recession really since about the third quarter of 06, fourth quarter of 06. And it was the housing started to collapse in 07, as you recall. And so when that happens, you don't have people coming and moving into our community, buying homes, spending money on goods and services. But the contractors and the trades associated with residential home building, they start to evaporate. So that has an impact on the industrial market and all. And so residential home building, You know, last year, well, let's just talk about residential. So last year there was about 2,200 housing permits. That's really, really low.
It is low, and I can recall, and wasn't it up at one point in the high around the year 2000 to 2005? Well, weren't we doing like double digits?
Well, we were doing almost 15,000, 12 to 15,000.
And that's a huge drop.
That's a huge drop, and it's a reflection of the fact of our economy. And our economy is based upon jobs, and we just don't have a lot of jobs here. But what's happened in residential basically was that in home sales, the number of units sold dropped about 5.4%. There was about 13,000, give or take, sales. The dollar volume was up just a little bit. That's because home values, the medium income of a medium price of a home went up a little bit. So that was about $2.68 billion. So dollar volume went up just a tad, but home sales dropped. And that's a big change from the year before, because the year before was a pretty darn good year. And this year we took a little bit of a step backwards. So that's a reflection of the overall economy. I think people here locally are just concerned about maybe buying a home. Are they going to have their job? What's happening? And people are kind of holding on to their gunpowder a little bit. I could tell you, though, that people want to do things. They want to grow their business. They want to expand. They want to do, but they're reluctant because they're still nervous about events happening out there, whether the possibility of DM closing or the national economy, is the other shoe going to drop? And so folks are a little bit hesitant to make that move or that step, whether it's in their business or buying something, or they have to sell what they have back east before they can do that here. But you can feel I don't want to call the word tension, but you can feel it kind of getting together, but that needs a release valve, and we just haven't had that yet.
And there are some positives. We added 4,200 jobs, which is very important, of course, over the last 12 months, but it's still half of the national average, and it is about jobs.
It's number one, jobs. Number two, jobs. Number three, jobs. It's all about jobs here for Tucson.
How are we doing with retail?
You know, retail is one of the bright spots in the commercial real estate sector. The vacancy rate is below 10%, and I think it's about 7.8%. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons why it's doing better than the other sectors mainly is because we didn't build a lot of new retail construction over the past few years. We've had redevelopment of central area properties like Wilmot Plaza and Circle Plaza Shopping Center. And then what we have is large vacant area parcels are being developed. So 22nd Street and Alvernon, the new DES buildings there. And we have new retail tenants, national tenants entering our marketplace like Natural Grocers and Longhorn Steakhouse. And then we just have, seems like, a ton of urgent care facilities.
What is that about?
It's just because, you know, medical care.
If you got a toothache these days, there won't be trouble finding a dental clinic even. There's one on every corner.
Well, it's expensive to go to the emergency room. You know, my son just went there and the deductible, it's $350 a visit, or you can go to the urgent care and don't have to pay very much. So you're seeing that with these changes in healthcare policies going up and Obamacare, that folks are just taking advantage of those urgent cares because a lot of them are very, very good. You can get your x-rays, you can get your test results. They have very good doctors there, and people are using them for their little things.
So retail was one of the bright spots. Investment is an interesting area. Why invest in Tucson, Hank Amos, versus other cities in the United States? Are we still considered kind of, we're not really on the radar screen? Well, maybe we're on the map, but kind of under the radar.
Well, it was interesting. You know, there was a big topic about that in Los Angeles not that long ago, talking about the strongest markets. And what they determined was the big six is New York, Chicago, Boston, Washington, D.C., Miami, and Los Angeles. And then they talked about the next tier, which is Dallas, Atlanta, San Francisco, Seattle, Houston. And they're talking about those because there's a little bit more safety. There's the job market stronger. So there's safety for investment. But Tucson's a tertiary market. and we don't have a lot of big employment, and also big national investors or folks from all around just aren't coming here and investing like they did back in the 80s. Now, we are seeing some trophy properties sell because they're great properties. They have a great location, and so the sellers are harvesting, as we talked about, and the buyers are buying it. And I think you'll see a continuation of that going on. But as far as the investment market, it's going to be about that. Also, like small apartment buildings, so 50, maybe 100 units, the smallest inventory it's going to go. And then you're going to probably start seeing residential land that is going to be sold to put residential lots on there for the home builders, because the home builders is boom and bust. When things are going great, they have a lot of inventory. When things are going poorly, they pour back quickly. They have no inventory, and so they may start loading up here again, depending upon how the sales market turns out. And they get a glimpse of that because the market in residential starts February 15th, peaks March 30th, ends about the first week of June. So they'll know how things are kind of going. But there's a sense around the country that things are picking up a little bit, and you may see the home builders say, hey, you know what? We don't want to be caught with our pants down, so we want to have some inventory to build some homes.
All right. Hank Amos is with us, 790-2040, 790-2040. If you would like to weigh in, if you have any questions about the economy or real estate, Hank is here to answer your questions in the second segment of the Buckmaster Show. As we push toward 12:16, it is time to take our first break, and we thank all of the sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Please give a listen and support these folks. They make our work here in Tucson possible. Be right back.
Remodeling, restoring, or building new additions to your home?
Five Star has termite and pest solutions for you. Treatments to building materials can be performed while tradesmen continue to work. Worried about treatment marks? Don't be. Our treatments will be completed before texture and paint. Five Star will provide landscaping and drainage advice to eliminate moisture and other pest and termite attractions around the home.
Five Star Termite and Pest Control, protecting homes and homeowners since 1980. 886-0045.
Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
You've worked hard all your life, and there's no way you're about to bend over the hood of your car and fix it. I'm Mike Emery, and I'd like to respectfully suggest that you take your car or truck to Perfection Auto Works. In addition to specializing in Porsche, Audi, VW, and Mercedes-Benz, we can fix your Lexus, Chevy, Ford, and even your Nash. Call today, 323-8650, or visit our website at perfectionautoworks.com.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a 4-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Hank Amos is with us. We're talking real estate. We're talking the economy. Hank's family has been around Tucson forever. He's now got, with his son, the four generations of Amos. Now, will your son get into the business too, or is he going to go a completely different direction?
Yeah, probably not. I mean, there's just not a big future right now in Tucson, and he's seen the struggles in real estate being so up and so down. And but he's very much more entrepreneurial than I am, and he's an old soul, smart guy. He's probably going to go elsewhere.
Okay, yeah. Matt is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Matt, a question for Hank Amos, please.
Yeah, Hank. First of all, thank you for everything that you've done for Arizona and for Tucson. You've been an outstanding person. Real quickly, the MDA building. I don't know, have they been able to finally, you know, get somebody in there, or is it still, say, MDA? And that leads to the broader question, why did we lose the MDA? Why was there no fight to keep them here? And, you know,
good questions.
Bringing national organizations like that, we could have built around them. I don't understand that. So thank you. Bye.
You know, I don't know if I have all the answers for that, why they left. I know there was a change a little bit in their governance and
leadership
and
change.
Leadership,
yeah.
And so they went back to back east.
Chicago area.
Right. And they were able to pull more dollars and have more of an impact, and they really couldn't exert that influence out here like they can back in the Chicago area. So I know a lot of folks tried to keep them, but the leadership changed and they got pulled back there. As far as the building, the building's a great building. There are folks that have been looking at that. George Larson, who bought that, is a very good real estate developer, owner, operator. Extremely bright, very sharp, knows what he needs to do, and they're working on cutting that down to smaller spaces so that they can lease it. The problem is, I don't know if it's a, well, it is a problem for George right now, is who's going to take that space, who's going to come in and use it. So, you know, we need to get some employers, but that's a trophy asset. It's a great building. He will eventually lease it up. But it may take a little while.
There was a time we used to be very close to competing with Phoenix, but that's pretty much, those days are gone. And we were talking during the break that you said in the late 1980s, Tucson was positioned to be the Austin of the United States. It was really one of the high-tech, going to be anyway, the Southwest Silicon Valley.
Well, we had a lot of things going for us at that time. Richard Harville was the president, did a great job.
At the U of A, yeah.
Yep. And then John Schaefer. So John Schaefer came in, and he said, you know what, we want to be the Harvard of the West. Mm-hmm. And he hired a lot of great professors to come to our university, and we got that distinction, and we were kind of growing. So that was one of the economic engines, and we were really moving. And things were going great. We were top five everything, top five growth, top five best place to do business, top five entrepreneurial, you name it. We were top five tech place. We were everything, and things were going very well. And then unfortunately, we had a change in we had the RTC, so the big real estate collapse, and we lost some talent from that, because from 1987 to 92 were very difficult years, probably the most difficult years for Tucson up to that time. I'd say the last 8 years have been more difficult, but we had that, and then we had a change of culture politically. And we really became the city of no growth, didn't want anything. So we had Motorola that wanted to come here. We told them, no, we don't want you. We had Intel that wanted to come here. We told them no. And then we had IBM that was looking at bringing another huge division and watching this fight going on between two companies that wanted to come here. And our city leaders or politicians are saying, we don't want you because you make a wafer that might be environmentally sensitive for our desert. And I understand that to agree, but that was just false. And so IBM said, you know, we're not coming. So we just got off the radar screen and became the city of no, and people went elsewhere. And they went to Austin, and they went to Boise, and they went to Denver, and they went to places around Silicon Valley.
And now we are, hopefully, at least with the downtown area being more of a place that is saying yes, you're seeing downtown come back.
Well, we are, and there's been some incentives. Mm-hmm. There's been some local developers that really focused on there, like Scott Steitler, and they really have done, Jim Campbell, they've done a great job of creating some energy. So, you know, I call it Tucson's version of Miami. I mean, Miami's huge, but you got to start somewhere, right? You got to create something that people want to go to, and they have made downtown the destination place for where you want to go. There's just a ton of restaurants and bars and very good energy. You have the trolley going through there. So that's good news. And there was a newspaper, I believe, either in San Francisco or Portland that mm-hmm. picked it up as being the new hipster mm-hmm. scene. And those yeah. are good things to
it
have.
And you mentioned Miami, and the parallel there would be Miami really, really was terribly run down until they started the whole resurgence with South Beach and the
exactly.
with the resurrection of that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think Tucson needs to, as Miami has embraced its Cuban heritage to
uh-huh.
a degree,
uh-huh.
we need to embrace our Mexican heritage and play off that a little bit more and become the platform for Mexican regional companies to say, hey, look, if you want a footprint in the United States, we want you here in Tucson. And really work on that trade. It's a great culture. We can embrace it, and we can pick up on it like Miami has done, but to a degree here. Logistically, we have the infrastructure for the maquiladora and for the rail and for the highway system and for the air. We have everything here, and we're a cheap place to do business and a cheap place to live. So we have the ingredients. We just need to go out and get it.
Hank Amos with us from Tucson Realty and Trust. And so rather than try to look to Phoenix now to compete, you're saying that we've got a great market just 60 miles south of us.
Well, yeah. We do. And our market is, in some ways, might be more – well, Phoenix is Phoenix, and Scottsdale is Scottsdale, and Paradise Valley. Those are great areas. And we need to do things to make our community more aesthetically pleasing. It's not the – there's a lot of eyesores here, so we need to do that to make our community more pleasing. But we have buildings, a lot of buildings, over 100,000 square feet that we can bring industry in, and Phoenix is lacking that right now. So we can pick on the fact that Phoenix is lacking on that inventory and have them come down here and relocate here.
How is the year shaping up, 2015, for Tucson then?
Well, so there's been this pattern the last 4 or 5 years where, you know, the end of the year and the first quarter, things are great, and we see a lot of activity. But then comes the end of April, early May, and it drops off, and it's just kind of dead. You know, there is a sense out there, a smell out there that people want to do things and do business. And we're seeing more deals and transactions. December's home sales were up significantly, double digits from November. Okay, from the so there's things out there, and maybe this might be the year it turns the corner, but our prediction is going to be pretty similar to last year, probably a little bit better, but not by great margins.
And one area we didn't touch on, land investment. Is there still land to develop in town?
Oh, yeah. There's still lands on the outskirts, and there's infill properties mm-hmm. that you can do. But you got to have a user.
And the retail, we talked about retail. We didn't talk about industrial space. What is that percentage? Do you happen
to have
that?
Well, the vacancy rate's about 10.5% to 11%.
Okay.
So they're still struggling a little bit. But, you know, those are like a lot of, you know, 5,000 square foot buildings, contractor yards. You know, it's all dependent upon the residential home building business. And that's almost non-existent. So industrial is hurting a little bit. An interesting interesting statistic. So the sales of 15,000 square foot buildings, only four buildings sold in 2014 that were 15,000 square feet or more.
Wow.
That's just that's
incredible. One of the lowest you've seen then, I take
it. And talk about construction. Mm-hmm. During the fourth quarter, there was a building built for about 49,000, 50,000 square feet that was completed, 10,000 in the third quarter, and nothing in the second and first quarter. Mm. That's how anemic our industrial market is.
All right, Hank Amos, Tucson Realty and Trust. He visits with us always for this annual report, and we'll visit with him as the year progresses as well. We appreciate sharing your thoughts about the Tucson market, and hope you have a great rest of the week. Thanks, Hank.
I hope so, too.
All right, have a good weekend. Hank Amos with us on the Buckmaster Show. Rahina Romero is waiting in the wings. She will be our next guest, the Ward 1 Tucson City Councilwoman, 790-2040, for questions and comments for Councilwoman Romero. Be right back. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Please join the UA College of Science, which celebrates the premiere of its 10th free public lecture series starting Monday, January 26th. This year's seven lecture series topic is Life in the Universe, which explores our universe of molecular, biological, and cosmic scale to ask, what is life and how do we recognize it? Each program starts at 7 p.m. More information at cos.arizona.edu. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday, a newsmaker interview with Adelita Grijalva, chair of the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board. Also, we'll talk with the new director of the University of Arizona Museum of Art, Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and always streaming and podcasts and show archive at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It is 12:34 on this midweek edition, Wednesday, the 28th of January. We are joined now by the Ward 1 Democrat Councilwoman Rahina Romero. Councilwoman, how are you?
Happy New Year, Bill Buckmaster.
Thank you
for having me here.
Thank you very much. You are up for re-election. You have not said anything about your re-election plans. What are they going to be?
Well, I am announcing officially today in your show, Bill, that I have submitted my paperwork to run for re-election in 2015 and be part of the very effective team on the mayor and council, including Mayor Rothschild, who's running for re-election, Shirley Scott, and Paul Cunningham.
The people who knock Tucson consistently, are they being unfair to you and your council members?
You know, I think that they are not well informed. I really feel as though some people like to, of course, there's different intentions happening with different people, but I really feel as though people are not well informed or are not doing their research properly to know that the mayor and council have been, since the Great Recession, we have been moving fast and furiously to help small businesses in our community. We created, back in 2009, I submitted a white paper with different ideas that my colleagues on the mayor and council back then approved unanimously. And it included the jobs incentives program idea. And it included creating our own economic development office for helping the small businesses and then helping attract the larger employers and helping the larger employers that are here in Tucson to continue growing and growing jobs in our community. So I really feel as though there's either lack of research or an intention that is not a positive intention for the mayor and council.
You were exchanging a few words with Hank Amos and you listened to Hank's comments today and exchanging words on some positive areas that the two of you could possibly work together.
Yes.
You were talking about this, the infill project.
Yes, I was telling Hank that the City of Tucson Mayor and Council the last January meeting we had, we talked about and had a public hearing on the infill incentive district. It's a district that we are trying to incentivize infill in, which is in our urban core. And this infill incentive district has been in place since 2009, I believe. And we got stakeholders, both developers and neighborhoods and many different knowledgeable people, to kind of put together an incentive. Corky Poster is leading the project. They had more than 100 meetings, community meetings. And basically it's saying, in one fell swoop, we are changing, or property owners that own in our infill incentive district that have a zoning of industrial can use the infill incentive district to do mixed uses on their property. And so 140 acres will become available of industrially zoned land within our urban core and will become available for a commercial, residential, retail development in our urban core. So it's a good thing. We had the public hearing last meeting in January that we had, and then we gave direction, Mayor and Council gave direction to go back within 30 days, fix a little bit of the things that both the development community and the neighborhoods were concerned with. And in the next 30 days, we are scheduled to approve that infill incentive district.
Rahina Romero is with us, 790-2040, 790-2040. If you have a comment, complaint,
a compliment, whatever, Rahina is here to answer your questions. She's going to be a very good sport about any of the questions that come in, and she wants to hear from you. Tim Steller's comments today about the downtown so-called free speech zone. Here we've got the gem show starting at the end of this week. We've got people from all over the world coming in. What are we going to do about this homeless camp?
Well, you know, I follow the direction of our city attorney on this, and we want to make sure that we're following the directive given by the judge, by Judge Brewery. And at the same time, we want to make sure that people feel safe walking in our downtown and that a park is used for everyone, right? That not one party or one stakeholder is taking over a particular public land and the use of that public land. And although I absolutely agree with the First Amendment and giving people the opportunity to practice their free speech, I also understand that the merchants in our downtown are concerned. Because one of the first things that I've talked to the city manager about with this particular issue is make sure that we're giving information to these individuals, to social service organizations that can help them in their homelessness, right? That can help them get out of the homeless situation that they're in. And then make sure that they have the opportunity to do free speech. But at the same time, it seems as though it is not about trying to get help and them trying to get themselves out of homelessness. It seems like there's something else.
Like maybe just trying to make a statement, or
right? And
it's not like about moving on in their life.
Absolutely. And when homeless individuals, families, women, are in that situation, then when the city or another organization tells them, here, these organizations are there for you to help you in your situation, they usually go for it. They usually say, okay, I don't want to be homeless. But it seems as though these group of people are trying to make a statement and are not really interested in the ways
in moving on
that organizations can help them move away from homelessness.
And speaking of the homeless camps, our friend Jim Kelly, a good friend of this radio show, has a question about or comment about the homeless camps for Councilwoman Romero. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, good afternoon. You know, I think the taxpayers of the city of Tucson have as much right to the public space as anyone else.
I agree.
And it seems to me that these occupiers are taking up more than their fair share.
I absolutely agree.
And that's another thing in terms of the poverty of Tucson and Southern Pima County. We've got a lot to work on. I think we can work on it together.
I agree.
I think there's a lot of good answers. The paycheck is probably the biggest answer to poverty that there is. Ms. Romero, the one thing that is still bothering me is that there is still a perception that you personally, as a councilwoman, council member, are far more accommodating to a very small sector of Tucson than the whole of the city. And yet you're elected by your ward and, you know, at the primary level, but you're elected citywide at the general level. So that there comes a point where you have to take off your partisan hat for that small constituency and start thinking about the bigger picture of the whole town. And that's really all I want to say, and I'm not trying to be offensive.
Not at all, Jim. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I know that there is that perception of me, but unfortunately, well, fortunately, it's not true. because the work that I've done in terms of making sure that every single Tucson resident is thought about in terms of economic development, all of the work that I have done personally, like I said earlier to Bill, creating the and presenting to Mayor and Council the jobs incentive program that have helped create jobs in the city of Tucson. Just with that action, We've been able to give a jobs incentive program to Cade Industries that created about 30 jobs with an average wage of about $56,000. Mr. Car Wash received that same incentive, which created about 40 jobs at an average wage of $80,000. You know, and so on and so on and so on. We have really tried to work. And you mentioned the election system that we have. It's important to know that I serve not only Ward 1 residents, but every single Tucson resident in the city of Tucson. And that really keeps me honest, and that really, I feel that that keeps me thinking of the interest that, for example, Shirley Scott has in terms of creating and building a senior center in the east side. I want that. I think people in the east side, Tucsonans, deserve that. Paul Cunningham, for example, wants to make sure that he fixes and that he adds to Udall Center over in his ward. And I believe that, and I support him, and I want the success of not just Ward 1 residents, but the entire city. And so that's why I work for not only downtown development, but I celebrate the work that my colleague Shirley Scott does on the east side, because if it's good for Tucsonans on the east side, it's good for Tucsonans everywhere.
All right, it's 12:45 on the Buckmaster Show. Rahina Romero is here. 790-2040, 790-2040 for questions or comments for the Ward 1 councilwoman who announced she will be seeking re-election for another four-year term. We will be right back.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Hi, wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine. Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us. How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
Oh, as good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $84 a month for the first 6 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card after online redemption. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 5/3/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS. That's 571-7847.
The The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
And welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is brought to you by our friends over in Silver City. It's just 3 hours east of Tucson, and we've been talking about this upcoming chocolate festival. I love chocolate, and I think many of you do too. The 16th annual Chocolate Fantasia. It's like a chocolate day filled with
heaven.
Yeah, I mean, it is. You've got over a dozen gourmet chocolate vendors will be in historic downtown Silver City for that event on February the 7th, all-day event. And there are great places to stay, like the Bear Mountain Lodge, Casitas de Gila guest houses, and many things to do. You can visit their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. We send a lot of Buckmaster Show listeners over to Silver City, and everybody comes back and they say the same thing. Thank you, Bill. We had a great time. It was a great weekend, really something different, and a good chance to get away. Rahina Romero is with us now on the Buckmaster Show, the Ward 1 Tucson City Councilwoman, who announced at the beginning of our interview today that she will be seeking another four-year term on the board. Everybody talks about the roads. The roads are in horrible condition. I think there was some survey done by the Realtors group that said 80% of the people agreed the roads were terrible. Have we made any progress, Councilwoman?
Yes, and I believe that, you know, roads and other infrastructure is something that we really have to talk about and discuss and try and help find funding for into the future. And that's one of the reasons that I want to continue as a council member for the next 4 years. It's because when you say infrastructure, it's so cold, a lot of people don't understand. But once you start saying, well, infrastructure improves the quality of life because it's better roads, better parks, recreation centers and senior centers for our community. It's about improving, making sure that we include pedestrian enhancements and beautification enhancements for our community. It is economic development, and it is about quality of life. And that's something that roads specifically, I think we've seen some wins within the city of Tucson. In 2013, we passed the street bonds pavement restoration project, and that's $100 million that is going to be invested into the city of Tucson for better roads. And so far, we have seen huge stretches of roads being fixed, like 22nd Street and Broadway and Speedway and Tucson Boulevards. And we have an oversight committee there that is making sure that the money is going directly to road improvement and road restoration, and that we have as minimum administrative charges there as possible. So into the future, I think one of the most important conversations we could have for the future of Tucson in terms of economic development, because economic development is very holistic. The infrastructure, improving the infrastructure of Tucson for the quality of life of Tucsonans is one important debate that we need to talk about, and then we absolutely need to help fund.
How about downtown? Will the city council continue to encourage the downtown to grow?
Absolutely. And, you know, we have seen absolutely amazing private investment in our downtown in a time in the last 5 years, Bill, that we have seen that the nation has seen a horrible economic recession, almost as bad as the Great Recession, as the Great Depression. We saw in that same time more than $800 million of private and public investment being invested into downtown. Why? Because we're creating infrastructure that leverages private investment. And that infrastructure is the streetcar and other infrastructure that the city of Tucson has paid for, like the 4th Avenue underpass, the bridge over the Santa Cruz into the west side, all the fixing of the roads on the streetcar path. That infrastructure leverages private investment, and that is research and shown true. It's a fact. And so when I talk about the future and how we can help improve the quality of life, have high-wage, long-term jobs for Tucsonans, one of the aspects, it's not the only answer, but one of the answers for economic development is the infrastructure. And so downtown still has a lot of opportunities. My ward into the west side, we have seen El Mercado. It's a beautiful destination. It's a great marketplace.
But there's still work to be done around to develop a lot of work.
And it's pretty amazing because stretching over into the west side,
right.
It's 40 acres of developable land,
right,
that is waiting for private investment into the area. And it really is an amazing opportunity to expand our downtown, to create more revenue for the city of Tucson, to make sure that private investors are investing there and that they're paying property taxes. It's a win-win. We've got to continue doing that. And yet, we also need to make sure that we're also thinking about the infrastructure and investing into all of Tucson, right?
Yep. 790-2040 Rahina Romero. How is the city financially doing here? We're actually beyond now the midway point, aren't we, in the fiscal year?
Yes.
So we're going to close out the fiscal year. How?
Well, I was just talking about this with our interim city manager, Martha Durkin, yesterday. And
what'd she say?
She said that, you know, we balanced our budget. We didn't have to, which is something that we worked very hard on, that we didn't have to go out and refinance our bonds. We made as many necessary changes as we could to make sure that our funding ratio is good with our pension system, our TSRS system. PSPRS is a different picture, but we are very healthy. The numbers for November in terms of sales taxes were healthy. We haven't seen the December sales tax numbers, but we're in a healthy place. We're not absolutely out of the woods yet, and the budgets that the state legislature approves can affect in a very negative way cities and towns and Pima County. And so when they cut our highway user revenue fund, we see less money for roads. When they cut our lottery funds to invest in transit, we have to make up the difference. So that budget that the governor and the state legislature are working on could have a very negative impact on the city of Tucson. But our numbers and our situation has gotten very stable, and we saw a lot of money coming in into Park Tucson because of the development downtown. So we are seeing healthy numbers and within the city of Tucson. Like I said, we haven't seen the December numbers. We haven't seen how the state budget is going to hit Tucson and Tucson residents. But we're hoping that that it's minuscule. But we are looking at maybe millions of dollars being cut by the state legislature.
Now, the city manager, you mentioned the interim, and most people say she's done a really good job, but I guess she's not interested in the full-time gig.
She is absolutely amazing. She's still enjoying it a lot. Martha Durkin is an amazing leader. She has a respect of the staff and the administrators. You know, she knows the city of Tucson. She worked for us for a long time as deputy city attorney. She worked within Pima County, so she has a good relationship with Chuck Huckleberry and the county. She worked with TUSD and knows the importance of a successful school district for the economy of the city of Tucson. She's amazing. I only have good things to say about Martha Durkin, and the only bad thing I would say is her not wanting to stay as a city manager for now and into the future. But she's doing a great job.
And you're going to meet with or have a meeting about the city manager, I guess, this week?
Yes.
Next week,
yeah. February 4th, we are going to have an executive session. As you know, when the position became available, we had to go out and look for a city manager. But we can talk in more detail when you come back.
Okay. Rahina Romero, thank you very much. Rahina announcing her candidacy for another four-year term. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you so much.
If you're looking for an auto mechanic, and who doesn't need a good auto mechanic? Mike Emery and the team at Perfection Auto Works, check it out. Convenient Midtown location. They're a block south of Speedway on North Beverly. PerfectionAutoWorks.com is who we recommend. Mike Shaw and his show, 4 to 5 this afternoon. Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 8. And then the Daily Double with Christy Simone, 8 to 9. And then it's me, Bill Buckmaster, and Ed Alexander, engineering and producing, tomorrow at 12:04. Till then, have a great afternoon.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.